Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Central Christian Church for our first Sunday after Easter service. A few announcements I'd like to make. You can still send in your Easter offering through online banking, mail, or by dropping it off at the church office. And then tonight we will conclude our Easter Bible study. That will be at 5:30 on Zoom. The connection has been sent out. If you didn't get it and would like to have it, please let me know. You can call the church or you can email, whatever, but let me know. The Zoom Bible study, as I said, will begin at 5:30, and it's over the first chapter of Mark. Also, next Sunday, we'll be serving the local Randy Sam shelter. Under these conditions, what we do now is we come together, a few of us make the meal, then take it over and drop it off. We're not allowed in the building, of course, but we can make the meal and take it to them and drop it off. If you'd like to be a part of that, then please join us next Sunday. I'll do another reminder when we have our Sunday service. With that, I want to ask all of you if you're doing well, if everybody is staying in their homes and having fun, finding out things that they can do. From what I hear, people are getting very creative in ways to have fun as a family, fun as a couple, when they're stuck in the house, and that's literally what we are for the most part, unless we go to the grocery store or the pharmacy, something like that. We are existing in our homes. That's a good thing. You might remember last Sunday I mentioned that we will be turning our homes into sanctuaries, because wherever we are, there is the church. So let us remember that, and remember that our home is our sanctuary during this time and through all times, because we are the church. With that, we will now have our call to worship. Let us begin our service with a call to worship. Friends in Christ, we are gathered to give thanks for all we have received from God's good hands, to praise God's holy name, to acknowledge and confess our sins, to hear God's holy word, and to ask those things needful for life. Let us draw near to God in all humility and celebrate God's infinite goodness and mercy. Let us pray. Most holy God, your majesty is exceeded only by your love. Grant us, in this our worship of you, penitence in the presence of your holiness, reverence at the thought of your majesty, and confidence in the knowledge of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O Lord, hear us as we pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Of the Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be, he is Alpha and Omega, he the source, the ending, he of the things that are, that have been, and that future youth shall see, evermore and evermore. O ye heights of heaven, adore him, angel hosts his praises sing, powers and dominions bow before him, and extol our God and King. Let no tongue on earth be silent, every voice in concert ring, evermore and evermore. Christ to thee with God the Father, and O Holy Ghost to thee, hymn and chant and high thanksgiving, and unwearied praises be, honor, glory, and dominion, and eternal victory, evermore and evermore.
Again, we gather around the Lord's table. It's a time in which we reflect on who we are as Christians, what we believe, how connected we are with the Lord. You know, Jesus had this meal with his disciples. And when he had this meal, he took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Likewise, he took the cup, and after blessing it, he said, Drink of this, all of you, for this is for the forgiveness of sin, for everyone. May we remember that our Lord blessed this meal. And each time we take it with him. Keep him on your heart and mind.
Heaven came down and glory Savior made me whole.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you've had to suffer various trials. So the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and understanding of his word. This is a really interesting passage from 1 Peter. And you may have noticed that after the greeting, the next sentence is very long and very wordy. And it's there to make two simple points. Without all of the words that you've heard, he makes just two points. Let's look again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's your greeting. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, after that greeting, what we have is a sentence that's as long as an arm. The author tells us, this is in sum, that we've been given a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection, one, and we've inherited God's kingdom. And I want you to make note that in that reading, just that part alone, in no way, at no time, is there any qualifiers. You hear that? There is nothing in there that puts conditions on this. For example, there's nothing that says we've been given a new birth if we confess Jesus Christ. Or we've inherited God's kingdom if we're good every day. The author puts no conditions, but tells us, as a matter of fact, through the resurrection, we have these things. In other words, it's a free gift. Now, how many things do you know in today's world that are truly free? You see these commercials, and it always cracks me up. It says, here's a free sample for you. All you have to do is pay $9.95 for shipping and handling. That's not free. If they paid shipping and handling and sent it to you and it was free, then they could say that. Then there's all the other part that always says, and if you buy one of these, we'll give you another one free. Well, if you have to buy something, it's not free. Have you heard that? Free. Free means there's no strings attached. There's no if. And that's what the author of 1 Peter tells us, that God's love, God's salvation through the resurrection is free. It is free. Now I'm going to tell you a story about a little boy named Bobby. And sometimes this story is very difficult for me to get through, so please bear with me. But Bobby is a little boy that he was sitting in his backyard, and it was a freezing cold day with snow almost up to the knees. But he sat there in that backyard. He was wearing tennis shoes that were tattered. There were holes in them. It didn't keep his feet real warm. He wouldn't have worn boots if he had them because, number one, he didn't like boots, and number two, he couldn't afford them. So he's sitting there in the backyard with these tennis shoes on and the holes in them. His feet are getting cold, but he had been out there over an hour thinking about what he wanted to get his mother for Christmas. So Bobby sat out there and he sat out there and he kept thinking to himself, you know what? It's useless. Because even if I do think of something, I can't afford it. I don't have any money. Now, ever since Bobby's father passed away 3 years earlier, things had been tough for the family. He had three sisters, two older, one younger, and then of course his mom. And his mom worked in a hospital as many of our moms do today. And she didn't make a whole lot of money. She tried really hard. It wasn't because she didn't care. She did the best she could to feed her four children and herself on the meager sum that she made. But what the family lacked in money, they certainly had in love and support. They didn't have a lot of material things, but they had each other. Well, Bobby's two older sisters and his younger sister had all three made something for their mother. So they were set and ready, but Bobby didn't have anything. And Bobby sat there and he just mulled over, what in the world am I going to do? It isn't fair. My sisters have things for my mom. I have nothing for my mom. So 6-year-old Bobby got up off the steps and began to walk toward town. As he walked through town, kicking the snow, he thought, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to show my mom my love with a gift. And he walked from shop to shop, and he looked in the window, and he thought, useless. I see things I would love to get her, but I have no money. Well, the sun started to go down, and Bobby decided, I'll just go home. That's all I can do. And he turned and began his trip back home. But when he looked down, something shiny caught his eye. And there in the gutter was a dime. Well, Bobby picked the dime up. Now, to a 6-year-old, he thought he was rich. So Bobby took that dime and he began to enter every shop. And he quickly found that a dime wasn't going to buy anything. And he became dejected all over again until he saw a florist. And when he looked at this shop and saw the flowers, he thought, maybe with my dime, I can get one flower for my mom. So he goes into the shop. And there are people all over the place. And he looked around and he looked at the flowers and looked at the flowers. And finally the man at the counter said, what can I do for you? And Bobby walked up and presented his dime and he said, I'd like to get a flower for my mother. Well, the man looked at him for a while and then he put his hand on top of Bobby's and he said, I think I have something for you. And he turned and went into a back room. Well, during this time, Bobby continued to look around the flower shop and he realized why his mom and women in general love flowers. He just thought they were absolutely beautiful. But then he heard the front door close, and it was the last of the customers. Now Bobby's the only one in there. And he begins to get kind of scared and alone. But he turns around, and here comes the man. The man walks out, and he has 12 long-stem roses, absolutely beautiful roses. And he had tied these roses up with greenery, little white flowers, and a silver ribbon. Bobby looked, and he just couldn't believe what he was seeing, and he saw these gorgeous flowers, and he thought, surely that's not for me. So the man placed them gently into a long white box, closed the box, handed the box to Bobby, and said, that'll be 10 cents. Well, Bobby was reluctant to take the box. And the man could tell that he was reluctant, and sensing that reluctance, he said, I just happened to have some roses on sale today for 10 cents a dozen. Would you like them? Well, this time Bobby just couldn't turn it down, so he hands the man his 10 cents. And he takes the box. And the owner walks over and opens the door, and Bobby exits to go home. As he left, the shop owner said, Merry Christmas, son. As he returned inside, the shopkeeper's wife walked out. Who were you talking to back there, and where are the roses you were fixing? Staring out the window and blinking the tears from his own eyes, he replied, A strange thing happened to me this morning. While I was setting up things to open the shop, I thought I heard a voice telling me to set aside a dozen of my best roses for a special gift. I wasn't sure at the time whether I'd lost my mind or what, but I set them aside anyway. Then, just a few minutes ago, a little boy came into the shop and wanted to buy a flower for his mother with one small dime. When I looked at him, I saw myself many years ago. I, too, was a poor boy with nothing to buy my mother a Christmas gift. A bearded man whom I never knew stopped me on the street and told me he wanted to give me $10. When I saw that little boy tonight, I knew who that voice was, and I put together a dozen of my very best roses. The shop owner and his wife hugged each other tightly, and as they stepped out into the bitter cold air, they somehow didn't feel the cold at all. You know, when I think about Bobby's story, I think we can agree the shop owner and his wife, along with Bobby, all three of them, got a free gift. A free gift. Whether it be something unseen, unexpected, or unrealized at the time, we get free gifts. I want to believe that Bobby did realize just how free his gift was when he got older. I hope we all realize the free gifts that we get in life from our Lord and Savior. Our text says, "In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." For those of us who have suffered the loss of a loved one or loved ones, I think we certainly understand the various trials part. We certainly understand being tested by fire when it comes to our faith. And while going through trials and being tested by fire, it is really difficult to believe at that moment, that all of that will result in praise and glory. In fact, so many of us have the knee-jerk reaction of wanting to blame when things happen, especially to blame God. Words like, "God, why did you let this happen? Why did you take my loved one?" Fact is, we don't always understand why things happen, and we therefore might question our own genuineness of faith when we look back. Is that not true? I hope we all know God does not take anyone from us, but God does give us all kinds of things. The world takes, but God gives and receives. So when the world takes one of our loved ones, God receives that loved one. But God does not take anyone. You know, General MacArthur, the World War II hero, tells of his time at West Point. He said the first section was studying time-space relationship, which later formulated by Einstein as the theory of relativity. The text was complex, and being unable to comprehend it, I committed the pages to memory. When I was called upon to recite, I solemnly reeled off almost word for word what the book said. Our instructor, Colonel Freeburger, looked at me somewhat quizzically and asked, "Do you understand this theory?" MacArthur says it was a bad moment for me, but I didn't hesitate in replying, "No, sir." "You could have heard a pin drop," he said. I braced myself and waited. And then the slow words of the professor, "Neither do I, Mr. MacArthur. Section dismissed." Because our understanding is limited, God took the time to experience what it is like to be human. Remember Jesus? And just a note, God is used to being blamed. He doesn't hold it against us. It's happened since the first people's feet hit earth. He understands human emotions and behaviors better than we understand ourselves. Therefore, God will receive our loved ones in His kingdom always. God will receive our loved ones in His kingdom always. As 1 Peter says, no qualifiers, no ifs. So our author says, although you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Outcomes. That's what we look for. Outcomes. And the outcome is that we have a God that loves us. This truly wraps up all that was said before. That long sentence, you remember that? All of that. This wraps it up. What we are being told is the important part of our faith is in outcomes. When our trials and testing by fire pass, and we see the faithfulness of God in standing by us, in spite of our anger, blaming, and wavering faith, we will rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. Why? Because we are receiving the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. As we go forth this week, let us not think of the moment when it comes to our faith, but the outcome of that faith. And yes, there will be trials. There always have been. COVID-19 is certainly presenting trials all around the world. Trial by fire. You might get burned, but you'll always be loved, and you'll always have God there with you. Let us stand by our God and understand that it is the outcome that we look for. The outcome. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, so often things happen to us in life and we immediately want to blame, whether it be you or someone else. We immediately want to be angry and frustrated, and those are all normal, we know. But what else is normal is you being there for us. What is normal is you loving us in spite of the things that we say and do. What is normal is the gift of your Son for our souls. We give you thanks and praise that you are a loving and understanding God, and we pray that we may be as loving and understanding in our lives. Amen. Thank you for joining us in this wonderful service on Sunday. I know that we can't be together physically, but we certainly can be together through our video on Facebook, as well as during our Bible study. Please stay safe, take care of yourselves, and have a blessed week. Let us receive the benediction. And now may the God of love, the God of opportunity, and the God of outcomes be with you now and forevermore. Amen.